The following material is brought to you by Riverside Baptist Church in Riverside, California, where clarity, eternity, and charity are our motto. We invite you to join our services at Riverside Baptist. For more information, please visit our website at www.rbcsocal.com.
Love Psalm 122 and verse 1. It says this, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, this is a wonderful thing for us to be able to come here to God's house. Now, we're doing live stream this morning, so I don't know how many are watching us on live stream. We've got a few people here in the auditorium, so it's good to see you today. And I praise the Lord for God's people as we gather together around the Word of God. But it says, I was glad. That word glad there in Hebrew means to be merry, to exult, to be gleesome, to be cheerful, to be excited, to be joyful. In fact, I'm going to preach a message tonight if you come back for the evening service. So whatever happened to joy in the house of God? Whatever happened to joy in the house of God? If you come back tonight, I'm going to preach on that theme. In fact, I just preached a revival meeting here up in Central California not too long ago. And every night I dealt with a different issue, a different subject. Whatever happened to trembling in the house of God? Whatever happened to conviction in the house of God? Amen? Whatever happened to joy in the house of God? We of all people should be a joyful people. Don't you think? Tell you what, I'm glad I'm saved this morning. I know I'm saved. Know who saved me. Know when I got saved. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. I know I have a home in heaven because of what He accomplished for me on Calvary's tree. Now, just thinking about that makes me want to rejoice. I said this last Sunday night in my message. Every once in a while, I just want to have a hallelujah fit. I mean, it's just good to praise the Lord. But listen, folks, if we would praise the Lord, we'd be a whole lot more joyful people. He's worthy of our praise. The Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. So I'm going to preach on that theme tonight. I trust that you'll be back for the evening service. As Pastor said, we're going to meet in here in the auditorium. And of course, we know that several churches today are doing the same thing based on this ruling that took place yesterday with regard to Grace Community Church. I don't know how it's going to affect us, but we're going to be here in the house of God tonight. So I trust you'll be here with us as we look once again into the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, if you'll turn in your Bible there, please. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, we're going to start there. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. When you arrive there, if you can, if you will, please, will you stand with me out of respect and reverence for reading of God's Word? I'd appreciate that so much. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. I'm going to just read a couple of verses of Scripture here, and then we'll pray and we'll get into the message God has for us today. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, I read this from the Word of God. For unto us, or for us, actually, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Of course, that gives a reference to the millennial kingdom. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal, the Lord of hosts, will perform this. But now, I love verse 6. Now, we always read this at Christmas time, and of course, it's appropriate to do that, but also I just every once in a while will flip my Bible in Isaiah chapter 9 and I'll just sit there and I'll meditate upon verse 6. It's good to meditate upon the Word of God. Now listen, friends, we ought to read the Bible. We ought to study the Bible. We ought to memorize the Bible. And we ought to meditate upon the Word of God. Many times we don't stop and meditate on the Scriptures. It's good to stop and just meditate on the Word of God. I don't know about you, but as I'm reading through my Bible, every once in a while, there'll be something just jumps off the pages of Scripture, stops me dead in my tracks, and the Spirit of God says, you ought to just stop and graze here for a while. I've got some Scripture that I've been looking at for the past 5, 6, 7 years. I'll go back to that verse all the time, and I'll just spend time just looking at that verse and praying over that verse and thinking about that verse. And oh, by the way, we ought to read the Word of God. We ought to study it, memorize it. We ought to meditate on it, but we also should apply it. We ought to weave it into the very fabric of our lives. Amen? We ought to live the Word of God. If we're going to be more conformed to the image of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only way that's going to happen is for us to immerse ourselves in the Word of God, to saturate ourselves in the Bible. So here we see this wonderful verse of Scripture where it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." God, we thank you this morning for thy precious word. We thank you for the reading of it now. And we pray, oh God, you'd help me as I preach your word this morning. I'm a needy preacher. I pray you'd fill me with thy Holy Spirit, oh God, and hide me behind the cross and use me today as I have a desire to rightly divide the word of truth and be an encouragement and blessing to your people. So God, speak to us this morning. Meet with us today. Fall fresh upon us, oh God, I pray. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name and for his sake. And to this I do say, amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to go back to the New Testament, the book of Matthew in chapter 1. Of course, we oftentimes read through this particular account of the birth of Jesus Christ at Christmas time. And I want to read through this again this morning, but I'm going to start in verse 18. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. It says this, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man." Now, you know what's really an interesting thing, beloved? We oftentimes don't preach about Joseph. We don't speak about him. We don't mention his name all that often. But notice what the Bible says. It says that he was a just man. That means he was a man that was righteous. He observed the divine law. He was holy. He was clean. He was a man of integrity. He's a man of great ethical conduct. So then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son," now watch this, "and thou shalt call his name," and "thou shalt call his name Jesus, Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken to the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is being interpreted, "God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and they called his name Jesus." Jesus. Doesn't that name, just the mention of that name, does it not just fill your soul? Does it not? Oh, let me tell you, the precious name of Jesus. Do you realize that name is mentioned in the New Testament 943 times? The name of Jesus. 943 times we see the name of Jesus mentioned in the New Testament. Do you realize that in the Old Testament there are 353 prophecies that speak clearly of his coming? 353. If you go through the entire Old Testament and you catalog all the times, all the prophetical utterances concerning the coming of the Lord, the Messiah, the Redeemer of mankind, you'll find 353 occurrences in Old Testament prophecy regarding all that's fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. But again, I want to remind you, 943 times in the New Testament, we see the name of Jesus mentioned in one shape, form, or another. Now, every time that I hear the name of Jesus, it just thrills me. We sang some songs this morning giving reference to that precious name. What a blessing that was to my heart. And every time we get an opportunity to sing about the Lord Jesus, I'll tell you what, it just thrills me. In fact, I was looking, and I do have them here. I made some copies out of my hymnal that I have at home, and I just want to read you the lyrics of some of these great hymns. But how about His Name is Wonderful? I love this old song. It's really a chorus, and it goes this way. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He is the mighty King, master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He's the great shepherd, rock of all ages. Almighty God is he. Bow down before him. Love and adore him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. Every time I sing this, I just rejoice. Amen. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is he. Bow down before him, love and adore him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful chorus that is. And there's another one I like too, something about that name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. King and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Amen? And then there's another one I like. I've not sung this before personally, but I've heard it sung many times, and it always encourages my heart. What a lovely name. There's a name above all others, wonderful to hear, bringing hope and cheer. It's the lovely name of Jesus, evermore the same. What a lovely name. Through his name, there's wondrous power, power to redeem, making sinners clean. By his power, he cleansed the leper, opened blinded eyes, caused the dead to rise. He'll return in clouds of glory. Saints of every race shall behold his face. With him, enter heaven's city, ever to acclaim. What a lovely name. And then the chorus goes like this. What a lovely name, this name of Jesus, reaching higher far than the brightest star, sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven. Let the world proclaim, what a lovely name. Boy, I'll tell you what, I've heard that sung several times over the years, and every time I hear it sung, it makes me weep. What a lovely name, this name of Jesus. Would you not agree with me? What a precious name. Turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 4, if you will, please, and we'll look there just for a few minutes. Acts chapter 4. Just jump around just a little bit this morning. Acts chapter 4. Another wonderful passage of Scripture regarding the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 4. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead." Now, you've heard this before. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. "And they laid hands on them, and they put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. I'd like to have been in that meeting, wouldn't you? Well, I'll tell you what a blessing it would have been to be in a meeting where 5,000 people were saved. "And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if ye this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he has been made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name," look at that, "by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Well, now this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." And then I love verse 12. We quote this a lot, don't we? "Neither is there salvation in any other." Watch now. "For there is none other," what's it say? "Name, none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." No other name given among men whereby we must be saved. The precious, glorious, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. Turn in your Bible there, please. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. In fact, I think what I'll do is I'll start in verse 1 and read down through this because I love this passage of Scripture. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. It says this, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind," of course, that's humility. Boy, that's missing today in society, is it not? "Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Well, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now watch verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, see that? That at the name of Jesus, watch now, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I love verse 10. It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Well, I'll tell you, just to hear that precious name mentioned, just to hear it uttered, hear that name sung about in the old hymns of the faith, just makes you want to kneel. Amen. Just makes you want to get you on your face before Almighty God and worship Him. That precious, wonderful name of Jesus. Revelation chapter 19, please, in verse 10. In fact, we'll start in verse 7. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7. Another wonderful passage of Scripture. And of course, I don't have time to go through the prophetical utterances here. I just want to make a practical application. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." Verse 9, "And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he hath said unto me, These are the true sayings of God. Verse 10, "And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. In righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." Verse 14, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth a winepress of the fierceness of and wrath of Almighty God." And then I like verse 16, it says, "And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Yeah, that's my king, amen. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to that day. We see this here in Revelation chapter 19. That day's coming. By the way, let me say this, and I mentioned it last week, but I'll repeat it again. I don't know about you, but I believe that Jesus is coming soon. I mean, hey, listen, I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. Amen? I'm not looking for signs. I'm listening for sounds. I'm listening for the trump of God. Amen? The shout of the archangel and the cry, "Come up hither." I think it's coming very soon. We're 151 days into this pandemic here in California. March 19th was when this so-called lockdown and stay-at-home order started. And so 151 days ago, we started on this. And I've had all this time to just look at biblical prophecy, at Old Testament prophecy, and look at what's happening right now. And by the way, let me say this. There's not one prophecy that needs to be fulfilled for the Lord Jesus to rapture us out. Not one single prophecy. In fact, the majority of prophecy in the Old Testament applies to the tribulation hour and to the millennial kingdom and to the New Jerusalem. Amen? And so we know this. We know that our redemption draweth nigh, and now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. And I'm convinced by what we're seeing going on in the world today, which, by the way, is really pretty unprecedented, even during the Spanish flu back in 1918, 1919. Do you realize this, that 55 to 60 million people died? They say maybe even 100 million people died worldwide during that flu. We saw 55 million die here in America. I mean, it was just absolutely horrendous what took place during that flu. But what's happening in the world today is unprecedented, and all these things are coming to pass right now. If you look at Revelation chapter 6 And look at the first six seals, at least three of those seals. If you look at it carefully, at least three of those seals, we see the precursor to those events taking place right now. Anarchy, economic collapse, pestilence. When Jesus opens those seals, all these things are going to come to pass. And praise God, those of us that are saved by the grace of God, amen, we're not going to be here. Amen. I'll tell you what, we're going to be out of here. We're going to get that glorified body. And I'm so excited about that, and I'm looking forward to that day. I don't know about you, but man, I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to having a glorified body that doesn't get sick. Aren't you? You ought to say amen right there. Come on now. Give me a witness. I'm looking for a body that doesn't get sick. Oh, by the way, listen to this. In that glorified body, no more sin. That's exciting just in and of itself. No more sin. Praise the Lord for that. Oh, by the way, two events are going to take place during that 7 years when the tribulation hour is taking place on earth. The first one is the Bema Seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ for believers. We see that mentioned in 1 Corinthians 3 and again in 2 Corinthians 5. But the judgment seat of Christ for believers, when all those works which have been done in the flesh be judged, whether it be good or bad, we know that's going to happen. And then the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then we come back with the Lord Jesus, and we get to reign and rule with Him as joint heirs with Christ, amen, for 1,000 glorious years. Now, if that doesn't bless your blesser, your blesser's broken. Just think about that. Just meditate on that. Just give thought to that. Just realize that we're going to reign and rule with the Lord Jesus as joint heirs with Christ for 1,000 glorious years. And I tell you what, that excites me. I mean, we ought to get excited about something, folks. Listen, I've preached in countries overseas, and I'm going to tell you what, these first-generation Christians overseas, they get excited about the things of God. They get excited about the things of the Lord. But here in America, it seems like we just kind of gone spiritually to sleep. We don't get excited about much anymore. We just don't. And we ought to get excited about these things and realize that indeed our redemption draweth nigh and our salvation is nearer when we first believe. I tell you what, that gets me excited. It really does. I mean, so I'm looking here in Revelation chapter 19. I'm seeing that the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. And we're going to return with Him one day to reign and rule over this earth. It's going to be a different ballgame in those days. Amen. The Bible says that He's going to make His enemies His footstool. He's going to reign with a rod of iron. We'll have a different governmental system back in those days. Praise the Lord. Nobody's going to get elected to office in those days because there's no need to have an election. Jesus Christ is going to be King of the earth. I tell you, that excites me. I tell you, I get excited about that one and just have an old-fashioned hallelujah fit, just be an old-fashioned Baptist and shout just a little bit. So I get excited about that. We ought to get excited about it. Because I'll tell you what, we have a great heritage in the Lord Jesus. Well, what about the name of Jesus? We ought to be focusing upon His person more and more as we see that day approaching. We really should be. People, hey, listen, friends, let me tell you this. One of the things I found out in soul winning is when I go out and knock on doors, if people don't see that there's a little bit of joy there, what is it that I have that they need or they want? I mean, we're just not talking about an emotion here, just a smiley face. We're not supposed to be painting on some kind of clown face on our countenance and just be phony. You know, I'm talking about the joy that comes from the heart. When we're in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, we go out and knock on doors and tell people about Jesus. They ought to see that joy. I think the joy of the Lord is a very important part of our witness. And so you go knock on doors and you start talking to people about their soul. They ought to see that we've got something that they need and they want, and that's Jesus. Amen. They need the blood of the Lamb. They need His saving grace. They need to have their sins forgiven. They need to be brought to repentance and faith by the Holy Ghost. They need to be convicted by the Word of God. They need to see that God loves them and wants to save them, that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. They ought to see that we've got something that they need, and that's Jesus. And if they don't see that, then what is it we have that they need? So, well, listen, friend, if I'm already miserable in this world, and you say you're a Christian, you're miserable, what is it you have that I don't already have? They need to see a difference in us. You ever saw that bumper sticker, "The difference in me is Jesus"? I mean, you know, if we believe that, we ought to live it. We ought to live that out. People ought to see the difference in us. Oh, what about that precious name of Jesus? We ought to focus on His name. Don't you think? I think so. Listen to this. I'm going to just share with you some of the names of the Lord Jesus. Will be done, but and some of the things, even names that are assigned to God Himself. But let me read this to you. I've got a list here I want to share with you this morning. Well, He's Emmanuel, God with us. We see it in Isaiah 7:14. He's a bright morning star, Revelation 22:16. He's a Rose of Sharon, Song of Solomon 2:1. He's a Lily of the Valley, Song of Solomon 2:1 also. He's our Redeemer, our Substitute, our Sabbath Rest. He's our Great High Priest. He's our High Tower. He's our Rescuer. He's our Reconciler. He's our Comfort. He is our Joy. He's our Buckler, and He's our Shield. He's our Friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. He's our Consoler. He's our Bridegroom. He's our Beloved Master. He is the Great I Am. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the Creator. His name should be called, again, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Well, He's Almighty, Exodus 6:3. He's an Advocate, 1 John 2:1. He's an Abider, John 15:5. He's Beautiful, Psalm 90 and verse 17. He's Bountiful, Psalm 13:6. He's a Buckler, Proverbs 2:7. He's a Chastener, Hebrews 12, verse 5 and 6. He's a Comforter, John 14:26. He's Compassionate, Lamentations 3:22. He's a Counselor, Isaiah 9:6. He's the Creator. He's the Creator, Genesis 5:1. And by Him do all things consist. He's the Deliverer, Psalm 18, verse 2. He's the Defender, Psalm 5:11. He's the Door, John 10:7. He's Eternal, Deuteronomy 33:27. He's an Edifier, 2 Corinthians 13:10. He's Emmanuel, Matthew 1:23. He's Faithful, amen, 1 Corinthians 1:9. He's a Forgiver. Aren't you glad He's a Forgiver? Psalm 130, verse 4. He's a Father, Romans 8:15. He's a Fortress, Psalm 18:2. He's Gracious, Psalm 86:15. He's Good, Psalm 25:8. He's Great, Psalm 48:1. He's a Guide, Psalm 48:14. He's a Giver, Psalm 68:35. He's Gentle, Psalm 18:35. Well, He's Holy, Psalm 22:3. He's a Healer, Psalm 103:3. He's a Helper, Psalm 30 and verse 10. He's a Habitation, Psalm 71:3. He's a Hearer, Psalm 65:2. Yes, that's my King. He's Immortal, 1 Timothy 1:17. He's an Instructor, Psalm 32:8. He's Immutable, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. He's Jealous, Exodus 34:14. He's a Judge, 2 Timothy 4:8. He's a Justifier, Romans 3:26. Yes, and He's a King, Psalm 10 and verse 16. He's Kind, Psalm 117 verse 2. He's a Keeper, Psalm 121 verse 5. He's Long-Suffering, Psalm 86:15. He's Light, John 8:12. He is Lord, Psalm 23:1. He's Love, 1 John 4:16. He's a Leader, Psalm 23:2. He is the Master, John 13:13. He's a Maker, amen, Psalm 95:6. He's Meek, Matthew 11:29. He's Merciful, Micah 7:18. He's Mighty, Isaiah 9:6. He's a Nail, Isaiah 22:23. He's Near, Psalm 75:1. He's Omnipresent, Psalm 139:7. He's Omniscient, Psalm 139:2 and 4. He's Omnipotent. He's Powerful, Psalm 62 and verse 11. He's Perfect, Psalm 18, verse 30. He's a Provider, Psalm 65:9. He's a Preserver, Proverbs 2:8. He's Peace, Isaiah 9:6. He's a Pardoner, Isaiah 55:7. He's a Quickener, Ephesians 2:1. He's Righteous, Psalm 11, verse 7. He's a Refuge, Psalm 46:1. He's a Reprover, Proverbs 1:30. He's a Rebuker, Psalm 6:1. He's a Redeemer, Psalm 19, verse 14. Yes, that's my King. He's Strength, Psalm 93:1. He's a Shepherd, Psalm 23 and verse 1. He's a Savior, Isaiah 43:11. He's a Sustainer, Psalm 55, verse 22. He is Sufficient. Yes, He is. 2 Corinthians 3:5. He's a Sanctifier, 1 Corinthians 1:2. He's a Satisfier, Psalm 145 and verse 16. He's a Shield, Psalm 144 and verse 2. Yes, He's Truth. Yes, He is. John 14:6. He's a Teacher, Psalm 25:5. He's a Transformer, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Yes, He is, and He upholds Psalm 119, verse 116. He's Understanding, Proverbs 2:6. I'm glad He is. He's Upright, Psalm 25 and verse 8. He is a Victor. That's my King, 1 Corinthians 15:57. He's the Word, John 1:1. He's Wonderful, Isaiah 9:6. He's Wise, 1 Timothy 1:17. He's Worthy, Revelation 4:11. Amen. He's Excellent, Psalm 8:1. He's Exalted. At Psalm 97:9. He is the Yea of the Word of God, 2 Corinthians 1:19. He's Zealous, Isaiah 9:7. That's my King. That's my Jesus. Amen. That's my Jesus. That's the Jesus I serve. He is my King. He is my Lord. He is my Master. He is my Redeemer. Praise God for that. Do you remember when you got saved? I remember when I got saved. I'll never forget when I got saved. I mean, I've been saved almost half a century. And I look back on that night that I was saved, and I'm going to tell you what, it's all about Jesus. It's all about what he did for me on the cross. It's all about the fact that he took my place. He did for me that which I could not do for myself. He bore my sins in his own body upon that cruel tree. The Bible says he literally became sin for me and paid the penalty for me that I would not have to pay the penalty myself in hell. Amen. I think I said it last week. I'll say it again. I had someone telling me one time, you Christians miss all the fun. I said, listen, friend, the only thing I miss is going to hell. I'm not going there. How about you? See? I mean, it's all because of Jesus. It's all because of the Lord Jesus. If you're here this morning and you're saved, let me tell you what. The precious name of Jesus ought to thrill your soul. We heard that song. I'd love to tell you what I think of Jesus, written by Charles Weigel. He wrote that when his heart was broken because his wife had left him. He was an evangelist, and she said, I don't want to live this life anymore. I'm going to get on the train, and I'm going to go to Los Angeles. I'm going to go to Hollywood. I want to live a life, a different life than this itinerant life on the road as an evangelist wife. I don't want to live this way anymore. And she took their child and left him. 5 years later, she was dead. But Charles Weigel sat down at his piano in Florida, and he wrote that song. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Let me tell you what, don't you think that didn't come from his heart? From a broken heart of a man whose wife walked away from him and probably not even a saved woman. But his heart was broken and he realized that the only place for him to go to get any comfort whatsoever was to Jesus. What a blessing it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. That means so much to me. And I'll tell you this, that every time I hear his name, it thrills my soul. Every time we sing a hymn about him, it thrills my soul. And it ought to thrill your soul as well. And if it doesn't, something's wrong. It's either you don't know him, or you do, but your heart has become so cold and indifferent that it doesn't excite you and fill you with joy when you hear that precious name. Every time you read it, every time you read his name in the Word of God, it ought to cause you to want to get on your face before him and just worship him, for he's worthy of our praise. The precious name of Jesus. Yes, that's my King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Well, do you know him? Those of you that are watching this morning via live stream, I don't know how many people we have this morning with us, but let me ask you a question. Do you know him? Have you been born again? Do you have a time and place in your life marked by distinct change you can look back to where you came to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus? Where you believed in your heart the gospel that, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you believe that Christ died on the cross for your sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and on the third day he arose again bodily from the dead according to the Scriptures. Believest thou this? Believe it in the heart. A time in your life when you realize you offended a holy and righteous God and broken his law, and you recognize you were a lost sinner on your way to hell. A time and place in your life where you came to a saving knowledge of Christ, you became a new creature, and you haven't been the same since. If you don't have that time and place in your life, if you don't have a time in your life where you can say, and it doesn't have to be an exact day, hour, week, month, or whatever, but a time in your life marked by distinct change where you can say, yeah, preacher, I put my faith and trust in what Christ did for me on the cross, plus nothing and minus nothing. I know that I'm saved. If you don't have that time in your life, you ought to come to Jesus today. God wants to save you. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What a joy that is. What a blessing that is. Of all the things that have happened in my life, there's nothing more precious than my salvation. Nothing more precious than the night that I was saved. It's a night I'll never forget. My life's not been the same since. And I'm thankful. I'm glad. It's all because of him. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for thy word. And we thank you for the precious name of Jesus and how much it means to us. How we thank the old God this morning for him. And we thank you, Father, that he paid the penalty for our sins. We thank you that he came the way he did, and we thank you for what he accomplished for us on Calvary's tree. How we thank you, O God, today for the precious blood that was shed for us there, the cleansing, powerful blood of the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. How we thank thee, God, for that. And I pray this morning for that one that's not saved, for that one perhaps that has never put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Might they do that today. Might this be the day that they realize and understand that without his saving grace, they can never have any hope of heaven. So I pray for them today. And Lord, if there be someone here in the auditorium that knows not Christ, I pray they come to one of us, myself or one of the other men here in the church, Lord. And we'd be glad to take the Word of God, take the Bible, and go to a private place and show them how they might be saved today from the Word of God. Salvation's based upon the authority of Scripture and nothing else. It's not based on emotion, not based on experience. It's based upon the authority of your Word. So I pray, God, there'd be one like that today that come and be saved. God, we thank you for the precious name of Jesus. Thank you for the time we've had here this morning. Bless the rest of the day and bring us back again tonight, we pray, to hear from your Word. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, my brother.